So thank you so much for inviting me to speak this morning. Please, we'll give your blessings that somehow I'm able to facilitate a deeper understanding of these verses. So there are verses 2 to 4 of the 9th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The chapter is titled Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places. But chapters 2 and 3 don't have the text 2 and 3 don't have purport. So I'll read those and then we'll recite 4. Hare Krishna. So start with, I'll just read texts 9.2 and 9.3 and then we'll recite 9.4. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, all glories to Sri Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 9.4 Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is said, Tirthi Gurvanti Tirthani. A tirtha or holy place is a place where great saintly personalities reside, visit or reside. Although the holy places were already places of pilgrimage, they were all purified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit. Many people go to these holy places and leave their sinful activities there, thus becoming free from contamination. When these contaminations pile up, they're counteracted by the visit of great personalities like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his strict followers. Many kinds of patients come to a hospital which may be infected by many types of diseases. Actually, the hospital is always infected, but the expert physician keeps the hospital sterilized by his expert presence and management. Similarly, places of pilgrimage are always infected by the sins left by the sinners who go there. But when a personality like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits such a place, all contaminations vanish. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanina Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna. So once again, thank you so much for allowing me to be with all of you today on this auspicious occasion of Mahashivaratri. We'll begin by discussing the verse and purport and continuing on that. And thereafter, we'll discuss a little bit about Lord Shiva and Mahashivaratri also. And time permitting, we'll sing a bhajan at the end, the Shivastakam by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, just going back to the verse, I'll just repeat the verse once. Oops, hopefully it will. On the plea of visiting all those holy places, the Lord converted many thousands of residents and thus delivered them. Simply by touching the holy places, he made them into great places of pilgrimage. So, something really wonderful about this is that on the plea of visiting all these holy places, the Lord converted so many people, so many residents, and he delivered them. And just by touching the holy places, he made them into great places of pilgrimage. The purport sheds light on this, where it explains that Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, a tirtha, or holy places, is that place where saintly people reside. And in all these places of pilgrimage, the common man or the average person will go there to purify themselves, and then they leave their sinful activities there. And so themselves, they become free of contamination. But when these things, these contaminations pile up, they're counteracted by the visit of these great personalities like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this wonderful analogy is given of a hospital. I'm sure, hopefully many of you have not had the experience, but if you have visited a hospital, at the time when the physicians and nurses are not around, it feels a little chaotic. So, you know, it says here that the hospital is always infected, but the expert physician keeps the hospital sterilized by his expert presence and management. Similarly, places of pilgrimage are always infected by the sins left by the sinners who go there. But when a personality like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visits, all these contaminations vanish. So this is the potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and great personalities like this, that when they go to these places of pilgrimage, all the contaminations that have been left there by everyone who's visited, by all the pilgrims, they all vanish by their presence, simply by their presence. And this verse that's referred to in the purport is from here, from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. My Lord, and this is spoken by Yudhishthir to Vidura. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places, personified because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So, the purport explains, you know, that to this verse, that Vidura, having had a distasteful exchange with Duryodhan and feeling insulted by him, actually left the palace of Hastinapur. Hopefully most of you have some background knowledge on the Mahabharata. But Vidura was the minister of the kingdom of Hastinapur and also the half-brother of the king, Dhritarashtra, and Pandu, who had already passed away earlier in the pastime of the Mahabharata, the story. And because of harsh words that Duryodhan said to him, he left the place and went on pilgrimage. And later on, he visited Yudhishthir. And Yudhishthir said to him that, you know, you don't need to go on pilgrimage because all the holy places are there in your heart. You know, they're already there. And this is actually just a plea, and we'll come back to this point of the plea of going on pilgrimage, because Srila Prabhupada sheds more light on this. Sorry, mouse is a bit slow. So in the purport to that verse, it explains the personality of Godhead is omnipresent by his diverse potencies everywhere, just as the power of electricity is distributed everywhere within space. Similarly, the Lord's omnipresence is perceived and manifested by his unalloyed devotees like Vidura. Just as electricity is manifested in an electric bulb, a pure devotee like Vidura always feels the presence of the Lord everywhere. He sees everything as the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. So this last line is explaining how the Lord's omnipresence is both perceived and manifested by these unalloyed devotees like Vidura. He's always feeling the presence of the Lord everywhere, and he sees everything in the potency of the Lord and the Lord in everything. So he has that vision and ability. I'll read a bit more from the purport. The holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of the human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. If anyone visits a holy place, he must search out the pure devotees residing in such holy places, take lessons from them, try to apply such instructions in practical life, and thus gradually prepare oneself for the ultimate salvation, going back to Godhead. To go to some holy place of pilgrimage does not mean only to take a bath in the Ganges or Yamuna, or visit the temples situated in those places. One should also find representatives of Vidura who have no desire in life, save and except to serve the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. They are in the actual service of the Lord, specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing, and write of the glories of the Lord. Do we have the roaming mic? Yeah, is it possible? I just at this point, before I go on, I just wanted to ask if anyone has any reflections on this very powerful purport, which is reiterating some of the same points that was said in the initial purport and verse translation purport that we read. Anybody have any light? Prayojan Prabhu, could you get the mic to him, please?
I was reading back to Vinod Thakur. He was commenting on the visiting of the holy places, but also he made another comment, not only what they say in this purport, how they become purified by the saintly persons, but also that he said it's not necessary really to visit the holy places, because wherever there is devotional service, that is a holy place. So he said sometimes these journeys are unnecessary, because thereby a place like Bhaktivedanta Manor, where there's devotional service, that's also the holy place to visit. Just a comment, really.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada said all these temples are Vaikuntha. So any place where there's devotional service happening and the devotees are residing, the devotees who are always remembering and in contact with Krishna, always absorbed in him and discussing his pastimes. And here it says the pure devotees hear from the authorities and chant, sing and write of the glories of the Lord. So if we're looking for a definition of a pure devotee, it's given here in simple terms. Or if we're trying to understand how to recognize a pure devotee, you know. So wherever these things are happening, wherever these personalities are, these places are already tirthas, because they themselves are tirthas. Thank you so much for that. Anybody else like to share anything? No? Okay, I'll go on. Oh, there's somebody here, please.
Krishna, just a question about, you know, that sentence. It says utopian speculation.
Oh, sorry, I've lost the thing. Can someone? Sorry, hopefully it will. Yes, keep going. Sorry, with what you're saying, I'll try to.
Just wanted to know what that meant. Utopian speculation.
Utopian speculation. Sorry, I'll just pull it up. Oops. Hang on a minute. Something with a connection, let's hope it. Yeah? Okay, sorry, I'm just going to pull up the line. The personality of Godhead is always with such devotees because of their unalloyed service, which is without any tinge of fruitive action or utopian speculation. So our definition of pure devotional service, anya bilashita shunyam, jnana karma dhyanavritam, anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. This understanding from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the definition of pure devotional service describes devotion that is favorable and free from speculation and fruitive action. So my understanding is that the utopian speculation that's referred to here is that same speculation, where it is almost like a form of jnana, what it is, jnana yoga, in the sense that it is the intelligence being used to try to understand what the Supreme Lord is in a speculative sort of way, rather than just using our intelligence to apply it to scripture, to understand scripture. It's a speculative type of understanding of the Lord. I hope that helps. Sorry about the technical hitch here. I probably should keep going with this and hope that it all lasts. But does that help? Is that... Oh, I've lost it again. Oh, no. Okay, it's here. Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai Shishi Gorni Thai Ki Jai Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I've... I'll come back to more comments later, but in view of the slight technical hitch, I think we should keep going with the PowerPoint for now. I just put this picture up because I was thinking about, you know, we think about where devotees are, who are these great personalities that are hearing and chanting all the time and fully absorbed in the Lord, aware of his omnipresence and seeing Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna. Where are these personalities? So I thought I'd put a picture up of our modern day saints, though also all of you are also modern day Vaishnavas and saints and Vaishnavis. And this is from Kusum Sarovar. This was just about maybe 2 weeks ago. A very nice, what I would call a congregation or conversation between three wonderful Vaishnavas, and so many questions were being asked. And it was at Kusum Sarovar, and you can see the beautiful backdrop, hopefully, in the slide. But what really struck me hearing their interaction and watching them speak was, you know, a question would be asked, and there would be three different responses, sometimes six different responses, answers to these questions. And they were really churning the nectar with all their understanding, all their scholarship, all their excellence and eruditeness. You know, they were really churning this nectar of Shravanam Kirtanam. And I was thinking, well, you know, we're living amongst modern day saints, literally. And it's a very important point for us to understand that when we're coming in contact with devotees, what great fortune it is for us, you know. And these devotees may be just the ordinary devotees, you know, not ordinary. No one's an ordinary devotee. But what I mean is devotees who we may not always think of as being so exalted because they're walking amongst us and they're with us. But by this connection with Krishna, by their power and absorption in Shravanam Kirtanam, they are literally walking tirthas. They are holy places. And just as one takes, you know, so much endeavor to go to the Holy Dham, books a flight, gets a visas, you know, now hopefully we don't need COVID passes, but all of this, you know, we travel, as Persian Prabhu was saying, we travel for hours, you know, sometimes it takes us days to recover. Sometimes we even go to the Holy Dham and then sometimes our health is not so good or there are other impediments or the monkeys bewilder us. We go through so much endeavor to go to a dham. But there are walking dhams, there are walking tirthas in the heart of every Vaishnav. And this is the deeper meaning and understanding for us. I was thinking about what can we apply from this understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's potency. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling all over South India, you know, it's described, you'll come to it in the next few verses, people would just see him and become devotees. They would just see him chanting and dancing, and just by his potency, just by his beauty, just by his desire to give the holy name, they were just, their hearts melted. Even great philosophers, tattvavadis, you know, people in different other philosophical lines of understanding, followers of Ramanujacharya, you know, even impersonalists, their hearts were just completely overcome by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power and potency and his expertise in conquering their hearts as well, which is also something as those of us, all of us, I think, so many of us are trying, you know, to please Srila Prabhupada by sharing Krishna consciousness with somebody in some small way. So we can also learn from this example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of how to become expert in our preaching of Krishna consciousness. So this is very nice. Would anyone like to read this? Where's the mic gone? This is should anybody want to read? And anybody like to read? We can have two people maybe. I can't see any hands up. Oh, it's too small. Okay, I'll read it. No problem. Sorry. Oh, okay. There's one volunteer here at the front. Can we get the mic? Sorry, Peru. Thank you so much for moving around with the mic. It's really kind of you. I know it's. Well, we need to get more than one roaming mic, I think, if possible. Maybe in time. So maybe if you could read one paragraph. This is an extract from a class by Srila Prabhupada on that verse of the Bhagavatam 1.13.10 from the 1st of June 74 in Geneva. Okay, Shambhala.
So therefore, because he was traveling in holy place, Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to inform him that, my dear uncle, you're so exalted devotee, you do not require even to travel in the holy places of pilgrimage, because wherever you stay, that will turn into pilgrimage. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says in his song, Dita Yatra Parishrama Kevala Manera Brahma. He says, to go to the holy place of pilgrimage, it is also a mental satisfaction. Actually, if one is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, he is so exalted that wherever he lives, that is a holy place of pilgrimage. And actually, that is the fact. The pure devotee of Krishna, he is always thinking of Krishna. Premanjara Jarithi Bhakti Vilochana Sanatana Sadhave Vedayeshu Vilokshanti from a Samhita chapter 5 verse 8. They cannot forget Krishna even for a second, carrying Krishna. Therefore, because Krishna is with the devotee, such a devotee, wherever he goes, that becomes a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, every one of you should become a pure devotee, first-class devotee. First-class devotee is that?
In this age, it has been made very easy. Simply keep yourself cleansed, not to indulge in the four principles, prohibition, and chant Hare Krishna. Then you will be all first-class devotees. And wherever you will go, you will be able to purify there. Wherever you go, wherever you speak, wherever you'll sit. So keep this spiritual strength intact. Tirtha Bhuta, Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani, Svantastena. The Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. Extract from class by Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 1.13.10 in Geneva.
Thank you so much, Zemeng. That was beautiful reading, both of you. Thank you. I'm sorry about the slide being so small. I was hoping that we'd be able to get it a little bigger, but it's okay. Hopefully the other slides are not so hard to read. So this is amazing, isn't it? That this is where I was talking about the plea, that Vidura doesn't need to go on pilgrimage. He's carrying the tirthas within his heart. And Srila Prabhupada's explaining this, you know, to go to the holy places of pilgrimage is also a mental satisfaction. Actually, if one's fully surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna, he's so exalted, wherever he lives, that's a holy place of pilgrimage. And actually, that's a fact. And then he further goes on to explain, because earlier on, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying to him that, you know, you're so exalted, you don't require even to travel to holy places of pilgrimage. You don't need to. You don't need to be doing this. And that's why I was going back to that point of the plea. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the plea of going to these places of pilgrimage, preached to so many people and transformed so many people's hearts. He spent so much time traveling around South India, and you know, you'll be hearing more and more about this. But this was a plea. He didn't need to go there. He didn't need to do that. He was carrying all the holy places in his heart. And anyway, going on, Srila Prabhupada actually says, who is this pure devotee? He can't forget Krishna even for a second. He's carrying Krishna. Therefore, because Krishna is with the devotee, such devotee, wherever he goes, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. Therefore, every one of you should become pure devotee, first-class devotee. And that's all of everybody. He's saying it to everybody for all time, for all posterity. Srila Prabhupada's books are the law books for all time. He's the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, you know, we should really apply ourselves, I'm saying this to myself, you know, to really studying these books threadbare, because he's giving this instruction. So when the spiritual master is giving the instruction, we have to follow. That's what it means to be a disciple. That's what it means to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada, is that we take these instructions very seriously. This is our first duty, our first service. You know, we have to save ourselves before we try to stretch out, and you know that when somebody's drowning in the, you know, in water, the, or if you're on a plane, they always say put your oxygen mask on first and then put it on your child or somebody next to you. So in the same way, we have to ourselves become devotees, actual devotees, and then we can then, you know, help others to also become devotees. Obviously this happens simultaneously. But the point is, and then Srila Prabhupada says it so simply, this is all you have to do, these things, you know. Chant, keep yourself clean, follow the principles, and become first-class devotees. You will be first-class devotees. Wherever you go, you'll be able to purify that. And he's so specific, wherever you speak, wherever you'll sit, you know, wherever you go. So, and then he says, keep this spiritual strength intact. So for all of us, you know, no man is an island, and there's that example given that a stick on its own breaks very easily, but a bundle of sticks is very hard to break. It's just a simple way to understand that no one of us is strong on our own. We cannot be, you know, especially as conditioned souls in this material realm. We have to stay in the safe net of the association of devotees. That is where we'll be able to be strongest and be able to make nice advancement in spiritual life. So there's one other verse. If anybody knows this, I was going to ask if you can think of another verse that refers to the futility of going to a place of pilgrimage without hearing from the saintly people there. Does anybody know it? It's from the Bhagavatam 10th canto. Srila Prabhupada quotes it again and again and again and again, to the point that even if you've, you know, like me, you're not very good at learning verses, he says it so much that you have to know this verse by the end of his classes, because he just repeats it again. Okay, you're all being very humble, but I'm sure you all know this. Yasyatma buddhi guna petri dhatuke swadhikalata dishubho maichati yatirtha buddhi shalila nakarhichit janeshwa bhikyeshwa saeva gokhara. So Srila Prabhupada loves this verse. There are so many verses that Srila Prabhupada just always references, and again, I think that's something for us to learn from, that even as the founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada would, in one class, he would refer to a verse so many times, and he would sometimes repeat even the same line over and over again in that class. Similarly, when we speak, we should reference Shastra. We should always, if we can't learn the Sanskrit, that's okay, we can say the meaning of the verse, or we can say where the verse is, or even we'll remember one word of the Sanskrit, but we should try to do as he does and understand these verses. The translation: one who identifies himself as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of his birth is worshipable, or who sees a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself with, feels kinship with, worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. So very strong words there. And something to, again, reinforce this point that what is the purpose of our going to a pilgrimage, and how powerful is it? How important is it for us to inquire from saintly souls? And this is one of my favorite verses from the Bhagavatam 4:20-25. This is explaining why, again, these devotees are so potent. My dear Lord, you're glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron dust particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotees. So this is very beautiful, very poetic, and this is explaining that when we're hearing the sound vibration from Srila Prabhupada or these advanced souls, or any devotees really, you know, these people, the words that they're saying, the sound vibration is carrying these saffron dust particles from the Lord's lotus feet. And it brings about an awakening. If you're a bit like me, you know, sometimes I have to read something 5 times, 20 times, and I still struggle to absorb it. So I know that my intelligence is so weak, my memory is so weak, but this remembrance that we've forgotten for billions of lifetimes, it can be kind of reignited by hearing from these pure devotees. Yeah. The forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. And I'm sure many of you have this experience, even of hearing Srila Prabhupada speak, maybe even early on in your spiritual lives. Sometimes his accent is difficult to fully understand initially until we're more used to hearing from Srila Prabhupada. But still the vibration is so powerful. You know, the sound vibration of Srila Prabhupada, his voice is so powerful. What to speak if we could, if we were one of those very fortunate disciples of Srila Prabhupada who was in his presence, or we were able to hear from him directly in his presence, that must have been absolutely wonderful. So I'm conscious of time, and hopefully there'll be a few minutes for questions at the end, but I would really like to also speak today about Mahashivaratri. So it says Vaishnavam yatha, Vaishnava yatha Shambhu, the topmost Vaishnav. So the topic of Lord Shiva, Shiva Tattva, is very exalted. It's very complex, and we will just keep it very simple and just speak on a few simple facts here. But there are many experts amongst the Vaishnavas, and we have them here present also. Yes, Nishkanchan Prabhu. Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. I was going to say we have many experts, just like we have Karthik Chandra Prabhu sitting here at the back, very humbly, probably been doing his service this morning. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I pray that I can follow your instructions nicely and say something nice, because he has also taught me about Lord Shiva. And we have also the Prabhupada disciple, Ramnath Sukha Prabhu, who has spoken so many times about Lord Shiva. He's not physically present with us, but I hope that he... can hear this sometime or give his blessings, that we can understand a bit more about Lord Shiva. And so many of the devotees actually have so much knowledge. So I'll say a little today, but please, you know, if you'd like to research more afterwards, please do, because it's a wonderful, wonderful topic. So, just as the Ganga is the greatest of all rivers, Lord Achyuta, the supreme amongst deities, and Lord Shambhu, Shiva, the greatest of Vaishnavas, so Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all Puranas. So this is where the verse Vaishnava Yatha Shambhu, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, comes from. And this is very, 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 very potent. And we'll come back to this point of why he's the greatest Vaishnava, because he performs such amazing service for Lord Vishnu. For Mahavishnu, and he himself, Lord Shiva himself, is always absorbed. One expansion of him in the material world is always absorbed on his origins, Lord Sankarshan. And he's always meditating himself on him. I'll keep going. We'll come back to this. So for any of us, if we have any dilemma about should we be celebrating Mahashivaratri, should we be honoring this amazing day because we are actually Vaishnavas, but Vaishnavas appreciate Lord Shiva the most because he is the greatest Vaishnav, and his expansions are also being worshipped on the altar every day. We have, does anybody know who we're worshipping every single day? We say the mantra, Hanumanji, yes. He has, I think, a partial expansion of Rudra, and he's also the son of Vayu. And anybody else that we talk about every single day, we say the mantra, many Advaita Acharya, yes, who is Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. So in our sampradaya, in our understanding, we revere Lord Shiva, and we worship him, but we worship him as Sadashiva, the original spiritual form of Lord Shiva. And Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan, he's one of the guarders, he's a gatekeeper, Dwarpal, of the holy dham. There are four main Lord Shiva temples, and these temples are the entry points. You know, he guards the dham. One cannot enter the holy dham, the Kshetrapal. We can't enter the holy dham without his blessings. And that Gopishwar Mahadev is also an expansion of Sadashiva. So, in temples, actually, in Mayapur, Rajapur, Jagannath Temple, where the Jagannath Temple is in Rajapur, I don't know how many of you have been there, they have a whole celebration here on Shivaratri. And they have an actual shivling there also. and in Ujjain they have puja because there's a great huge Jyotirlinga. Jyotirlinga is it's like a self-manifest linga. There are 12 of them. One of them is in Ujjain. They have, even in our ISKCON temples, they actually worship Lord Shiva on this day. So let's keep going. More will be revealed. How do I get this to... Okay, sorry. Shiram yatha dahi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tathavrata gati heto yashambhutam api tatha samupeti karyat govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. This is from Brahma Samhita 545. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither the same as nor as different from its cause, viz. Milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. So this verse from the Brahma Samhita gives us a deep insight into the tattva, or the principle, of Lord Shiva. So the point here is that yogurt and milk are very similar. They're almost the same. But one is the source and the other is the effect. The milk is the source and the yogurt is the effect. You can't have milk coming from yogurt. It doesn't work the other way around. I don't know how many of you ever make yogurt at home, but you'll know this. Those of you who have tried to make yogurt at home, you can't do it the other way around. So they're almost the same, but the relationship is unidirectional. Jiva Goswami explains this, that the yogurt can come from the milk, but the milk can't come from the yogurt. So Krishna can do everything that Lord Shiva does, but it doesn't work the other way around. And we'll come back to this. We'll come back to an explanation from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where we understand how many qualities of Krishna are possessed by Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And we'll see that there's a difference there also, which is an ontological understanding for us. So this is a very simple way, the simplest way for us to understand Shiva Tattva. And this souring agent is... the material energy. Hang on. I wonder if I have it in my notes. Hang on a minute. The souring agent is the illusory contact with Maya. Yes. So this is explained in a lot more depth in Brahma Samhita. But essentially, this is the point. And we'll come back to how one comes from the other in a few minutes. Oops. Okay. Yes. So now we have a diagram. This is a cross-section through one universe. So just behind you, there's a painting which has a lotus at the top, which in the center of the world of that lotus is Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And there are multiple universes, Vaikuntha planets there. And that's three quarters of everything in all existence. And this is in the beginning of the Brahma Samhita. But there's one quarter, Ekapada Vibhuti, which is the material realm. And that's in that blue bubble further down. For those who are online, you'll have to come and look at this painting. And that's where Mahavishnu is present. So this cross-section that I have here is through the spiritual realm and one the material realm, and then one of the bubbles. I don't have a pointer, but you can see it says one universe, maybe vaguely. And we're just going to focus in on a particular aspect of this. So, hang on. So here it's explained. We won't recite this, but I'll just read it. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham, the mundane world. Next above it is Mahesh Dham, abode of Mahesh. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, the abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm, named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those graded realms. So here we can understand one residence of Lord Shiva, which is just at this border. Can you see this? I don't know if you can see my point. It's probably too hard to see, but there's Kailash here, or Maheshthan, which is just above the Brahma Jyoti. And those of you who have read Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, or you know of this, there's one point where Gopakumar is going upwards towards the spiritual planets, and he sees Lord Shiva's there with his bull and his Sankirtan party, you know, in this realm, trying to reclaim souls from the Brahma Jyoti to attract them to bhakti. So this is one realm, but there is, in the actual spiritual realm, there's and there's a slide about this I'll come to, there's an actual Vishnu Murti Sadashiva, who is the origin of all the Shiva tattvas thereafter. And there's a whole region in the northeast side of Vaikuntha where there's an entire planet there that belongs to Sadashiva. And then this is one expansion further, this Kailash. But there actually it's a Shiva tattva that looks like Lord Shiva, not Vishnumurti. And then thereafter there is Lord Shiva. There are many actually Lord Shiva expansions in the material realm. But the main one that we often hear about is the demigod who's in charge of the mode of ignorance, Tamakuna, and is responsible for the destruction of the universe. He's a manager in the material realm. This is just to give us some idea of his exalted position and nature. Let me keep going. So I'll read this. In the Vayu Purana, there's a description of Sadashiv in one of the Vaikuntha planets. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi, Leela 6.79 purport, yeah? In the Vayu Purana, there's a description of Sadashiv in one of the Vaikuntha planets. That Sadashiv is a direct expansion of Lord Krishna's form for pastimes. It is said that Sadashiv, Lord Shambhu, is an expansion from the Sadashiv in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Vishnu, and that his consort, Mahamaya, is an expansion of Rama Devi or Lakshmi. Mahamaya is the origin or birthplace of material nature. So here this is going back to this Vishnu Murti. He actually looks like Lord Vishnu, and that is Sadashiva, as the origin in the spiritual world. Yeah, he's a Narayan Murti. And there's very little difference actually between Narayan and Shiva. I'll explain ontologically in the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu explains that Krishna has 64 qualities. Narayan has 60, Lord Shiva has 55, and Jivas have 50. So Shiva Tattva is very, very exalted. And it's not an easy tattva for us to understand, but we can have some grasp, just like a dwarf trying to understand the moon or trying to capture the moon. We can have an appreciation for his exalted position and pray to him to help us in our Krishna bhakti. Sorry, I'm struggling with the mouse. 1 second. Yeah, okay. So now, when the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 14.4 that he's the father of all living entities, aham bija pradapata pitaha, this refers to actions performed by Lord Vishnu through Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is always unattached to material activities, and when material activities are to be performed, Lord Vishnu performs them through Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is therefore worshipped on the level of Lord Vishnu. When Lord Vishnu is untouched by the external energy, he is Lord Vishnu. But when he is in touch with the external energy, he appears in his feature as Lord Shiva. And that's from the Bhagavatam 8.7.22. So here, this is in the material realm. The picture here is showing Mahavishnu glancing on Pradhan, and his actual glance is Shambhu. I don't know if I should take it one step further. Maybe I'll try to briefly explain, very briefly. So originally we have Krishna and Balaram, and from Balaram come the Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. And from that Vasudev, there's a second Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev. The first Chaturvyuha are there to protect Goloka Vrindavan. They protect it. The second Chaturvyuha are to protect the Vaikuntha planets. From that Sankarshan comes Mahavishnu. Please correct me if I get this wrong. Please, Karthik Chandrababu. Sorry, because it's I'm still trying to get my head around it. Comes Sankarshan. And that Sankarshan produces a facsimile of himself, just like a replica. And that replica is Mahavishnu. The Mahavishnu is lying in the bubble over there, from whose pores emanate multiple universes. And that Mahavishnu, when he glances at Pradhan, that glance is Shambhu. And the word Shambhu also means to be auspicious. Sham is auspicious and Bhu is to be. And Shiva, the word Shiva also means auspicious. So, but that glance contains in it time and the jivas. And when Pradhan is impregnated by that glance, that's when creation begins. That's the very origin of that, you know, creation. And this point that's being made here in this Gita verse is that when Lord Vishnu wants to interact with Pradhan, he does that through the agency of Lord Shiva. It's his desire to create. He has that desire to create. But Shambhu is so dear to Lord Vishnu that he takes that desire of the Lord on himself and he facilitates it. And that's why we say Vaishnava Nam Yatha Shambhu. Because that glance that he throws, the glance itself that contains all the living beings, why is it so auspicious? Because it then, us coming into the material realm, that facilitates us being able to go back to Godhead. This whole material world that's been created is there for our purification, for our rectification, for us to change our desire from desiring that which is inner and not our real constitutional nature to that which is our real constitutional nature, and to desire to be with Krishna. So that whole facility is facilitated. This whole facility, the material realm, is facilitated by Shambhu in that glance. And if you want to read more about this, please refer to Brahma Samhita. Yeah. Yes, I won't read from the Brahma Samhita right now. So we're on almost the last slide here. Please be patient with me. Whoops. Okay. So this is a verse that I wanted to bring up because it's something that's very relevant for us as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's glorifying Lord Shiva's role in the sacrifice he takes on for the living beings. It's from the Bhagavatam 8.744. Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasochana paramaradhanam tati purushasya khilatmana. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of the people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's hearts. And a little bit from the purport, it says here, an extract. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general. The Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. So the picture here shows Lord Shiva drinking poison from the churning of the milk ocean when requested by Lord Vishnu. Or I'm not sure exactly how the request happens, but I know that Lord Vishnu is the person who tells the demigods to, I think, go to Lord Shiva for help. And that's why he's called Nilkant. He has a blue neck. He holds the poison in his neck. So he takes on this voluntary suffering for all beings. And this is something that we can meditate on when we're trying to spread Krishna consciousness. And this line here in the purport that says that such a devotee is very quickly recognized by the Lord, that's something that we can take great solace in. That even if we do a little bit, we'll very, very quickly, become very dear to Krishna, following in the footsteps of Mahajans like Lord Shiva. Oops, okay, hang on. So this is a picture of Gopeshwar Mahadev. In Vrindavan, I think I will explain this, that Lord Shiva is especially worshipped in this form. This is a form of his as a gopi, in which he accepted to witness the Rasalila pastime. Lord Shiva is known as Kshetrapal, the protector and guardian of the holy dham, and therefore devotees pray to him to allow them entrance into the dham. And this is a very beautiful verse that we can end with. Vrindavanavanipate chayasoma soma mole sanaka sanananda sanatana naradetya gopishara vraja vilas yugangri padma padme prema prayachani rupati namo namaste. O gatekeeper of Vrindavan, O Soma, all glories to you. O you whose forehead is decorated with the moon, Soma, and who is worshipable by the sages headed by Sanaka, Sananand, and Narada. O Gopishwara, desiring that you bestow upon me pure love for the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, who perform joyous pastimes in Rajadham, I offer my obeisances unto you again and again. And that's from Kalpa Dhruma, 103 by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. A very, very wonderful verse that we can meditate on today. And also for us as devotees, we can understand that he is one of the 12 Mahajans. He has his own Sampradaya as well, the Rudra Sampradaya. And he's also in charge of the false ego. So we can actually pray to him today to remove our false ego and help us progress in our Krishna Bhakti. We can have that meditation today. So if for those of you who can still remain, I wanted to sing this very briefly, the Shivastakam by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's 8 verses, and I do have, and it's originally, I think, came across it in this wonderful Krishna Kathamrita. For those of you who aren't aware of these, they're very wonderful publications that are put together by disciples of His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and they shared a lot of insights into very many wonderful topics. Is it possible to get harmonium? So just to give you some background, these 8 prayers were glorifying Lord Shiva. They're recorded in Murari Gupta's Sri Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya, chapter 3, text 13 to 12. On his way to Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ekamraka, Bhubaneshwara. There, on the summit of the best of mountains, resides Lord Shiva, accompanied by Parvati, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. Sri Chaitanya saw a great temple of Lord Shiva, surrounded by his servants. Sri Chaitanya entered the house of Purari, whose form emanated white rays of nectar like the moon. Gauranga bowed his head low and fell like a rod to the earth in front of that tiger-skinned dressed ascetic whose only residence was his body. Then with faltering voice and his entire body thrilled by ecstasy, offered the following prayers of praise to the Lord of the Mountains. So hopefully we'll whiz through this in about 8 minutes. So I'll sing one verse and then maybe you can repeat after me. I'm not very good with the words, so please forgive any errors. Namo namaste Tridasheshwaraya Bhutadinathaya Mridaya Nityam Gangatarangotitapa Palachandra Chudaya Gauri Nayanotsavaya. We'll probably need some to change the slides as well when we get there, if someone can do that when we get to the verse. Please repeat now. Namo namaste Vidasheshwaraya Bhutad Sutapta chami karachandra nila padmo pravalam buddhakanti vastre sanritya rangeshta varapradaya kevalyanathaya vrishya tvajaya tapta chami. Sudamsha surya nivilochanena tamo bhidete jagata shivaya sahasra subram shusahasra rashmi sahasra sanji tvarate jasestu. Nageshratno jvalavigrahaya surdulacharmam shukhadevya tejase sahasrapatro parisamstitaya varangada mukta bhuja dvayaya. Sunu puraranjita pada padma kshara shuddha pritya sukha pradaya vichitra ratno kavibhushitaya premanamevadyaharo videhi. Shri Rama Govinda Mukunda Shore Shri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva Iti Adinamamrita Panamata Vrindadipaya Khila Dukhahantre. Shri Naradadye Satatam Sugopya Jignashitaya Shuvaruparapadaya Debhyo Hare Bhakti Sukha Pradaya Shivaya Sarve Gurave Namo Namaha. Chinna Shitaya Shivada Pradaya Shri Gauri Netra Utsava Mangalaya Tat Prananathaya Rasa Pradaya Sada Samutkantha Govinda Leela Gana Pravinaya Namo Stutubhyam Tat prananathaya rasa pradaya Sada samutkan cha govinda leela Gana pravinaya namo stutubhyam Etat shivasya sakama putam mahat Shrinvan hari prema labhe tashigram Nanam cha vignanam apurva vebhavam Yo bhava purna paramam samadaram Etat shivasya stakamat utamahat Shrinvan hari prema Malabheta Shigram Nanam cha vigna Inapurva vebhava Yo bhava purna Paramam sada Jai Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai Shri Shivastakam ki jai Shila Prabhupada ki jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.